Well, good morning. Thank you. We are going to be continuing in our series on welcoming community, which is a part of our discussion about our mission and vision. And so I would like, as we start out, for you to turn in your bulletin to the sermon note page, and let's just refresh ourselves as to our mission and vision. Our vision, first of all, is a community of God's coming kingdom, bringing hope to a broken world. We saw a lot of prayers for that today, didn't we? We trust God will work. And then also, our mission is loving God and loving others as we are transformed by His love. And a part of that is who we are. We are a welcoming community. We want to see that grow. And so this is our vision of a welcoming community. Because the gospel announces God's welcome of unworthy sinners through Christ, we are a place where people are welcomed. This goes beyond friendliness to an attitude of acceptance that offers a seat at the table to anyone who will come. And today we're going to be talking about seats at the table. Seats at the table in the great banquet that will come when we see the Messiah in His kingdom. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 14. And it's the first part of the chapter is really, it's a description of Jesus' visit with a group of Pharisees and teachers of the law in a village. And the tradition was that as a visiting rabbi would come by, they would invite him over to one of their homes, one of the Pharisees' homes or one of the teachers of the law home. And they would sit down for a meal. This meal had a very, very practical purpose, which we will see. But the more I looked at this passage, and the more I thought about it, it seemed like this might be an opportunity to do a first-person walkthrough this passage. When I study the Scriptures, I try to, especially in these kinds of passages, enter into that passage. And so I thought we could all walk in this together. I haven't done this for a long time, so it's an interesting excursion, and I just pray that let's just have a little fun with this. Kind of enter in, and mentally and emotionally and imaginatively into this situation. So, let's begin. They call me Issachar. I'm a Pharisee. I live in a village, and in this village this week, a rabbi came, and we had this long-standing tradition that when any rabbi would come, we would gather together, and those of us Pharisees and those teachers of the law would examine him to see whether he was truly orthodox. And so one of our leading Pharisees, Asher, invited this Yeshua, who was visiting, to his home for a meal on this Sabbath day. And as we gathered together there in his dining area, Asher had a very special opportunity for this Yeshua. He brought in Chaim. Chaim was the town drunk. He had been drinking so long and so hard that his whole belly was distended, so much so that it pressed on his diaphragm, and it made it very, very difficult for him to breathe. We wanted to see what Jesus would do, because we had heard stories about his healing people, and we wanted to see if he would break the Sabbath law by doing the work of healing on that day. And so, here was Asher, leading in Chaim. And Jesus looked at Chaim and at us. And he said, "Is it lawful to heal someone on the Sabbath or not?" No one said a thing. No one at all. And Yeshua just shook his head. He went up to Asher, I'm sorry, went up to Chaim. Sorry, getting my names mixed up here. It's a long story. We'll get there. He put his hand on Chaim, and he healed him. And we were just eyes wide open, and we looked at this man who was so bloated he could barely breathe and barely walk, all of a sudden come down. He shrunk down to the size of a normal man, and when he could barely breathe, he breathed freely now. And when he could barely move, he moved freely now. And Jesus looked him in and blessed him, and he walked out. Then he looked at us directly in the eyes, and he said, "Who of you who had a son or an ox that had fallen into the well on a Sabbath day would not immediately pull him out?" We were stunned. We didn't know how to respond. Asher looked at me. I looked back at him. He said, "You know, go on, say something." And I kind of same back to him. And then he looked at Ehud, and Ehud just shrugged his shoulders. And we just were quiet. We had nothing to say. And so after a bit, Asher showed Yeshua to his place at the table. And following that, we spent several minutes trying to figure out who would sit where and next to whom and in what place around the table. And may I say it was awkward? But when I finally settled down and was observing Yeshua watching what all was going on, I saw a mischievous little gleam in his eye and a sly smile spread across his face. And I thought, okay, this man is enjoying this interchange. To talk about what is true, to talk about the law, to talk about the prophets and what they have to say to us. And I was expecting something good. So he told us a little story. And thankfully we had a scribe there with us, and he wrote down everything that was said. And so I have the record of that, and it's in your Bible there in Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 8. And he said this: "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this person your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Again, no one said anything. That's so unusual for us. We're usually talking loudly, and several of us all at the same time, about different things that are going on, but we were silent. What made this man say such condemning things to the most respected men in our village? How dare he? We had no responder. And after we had been silent for a while, Yesher had the absolute audacity to speak to Asher, our host, whom he should invite to eat the next time he has a dinner or a luncheon. And this is what he said: "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When Yeshua had finished, Ehud spoke out loudly. He said, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven." Brilliant! It was brilliant! He finally had a way to engage this Yeshua in something that mattered, to talk about the big question. And that is, who is worthy to sit at the table with the Messiah in the kingdom of God? Now it was on. This conversation had been going on for more than 700 years. It started with Isaiah and his prophecy in chapter 25 of his prophecy. And since I am the cantor for our synagogue, I thought I would chant this to you. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." Thus endeth the reading from the prophet Isaiah. That began the conversation about who is worthy to sit at the table in the kingdom of God. This was prophesied before we were taken into captivity. And after our people came back from the Babylonian captivity, most did not speak Hebrew. Most spoke Aramaic. And so the teachers of the law who knew Hebrew would read it, and then they would interpret it in Aramaic. And over years, these interpretations and the phrases and the ideas that they added to those were compiled in a book that we call the Targum. And let me read to you how the Targum portrays what Isaiah said in the prophecy I just chanted. It says this: Yahweh of hosts will make for all the peoples in this mountain a meal. And although they supposed it is an honor, it is a shame for them, and great plagues, plagues from which they will be unable to escape, plagues whereby they will come to their end. That's how we had heard this prophecy. That's what is in our mind as we sat with Jesus and had the opportunity to talk about who would sit down at the table with the Messiah. But there was more. About 100 years ago or so, a book was circulated called the Book of Enoch. It was highly regarded by scholars of our day and referred to many times. And one scholar summarized its teaching in this: "This book speaks of a great banquet with the Messiah and affirms that the Gentiles will be included. But the angel of death will be present and will use his sword to destroy those Gentiles. the banquet hall will run with blood, and the believers will be obliged to wade through the gore to reach the banquet hall where they sit down with the Messiah. Yes, that's what we thought. That's how we looked at things. And further, the Essene community, the Essenes in the Qumran community, put together the Messianic rule. And it stated only pious Jews were allowed at the banquet. It also said no one who is smitten in the flesh or paralyzed in his hands and feet or lame or blind or deaf or dumb or smitten with a visible blemish will sit at the table in the kingdom. So when Ehud heard our host talk about who should be invited, when he said the blind and the deaf and the lame should be invited here, we wanted to make sure what was true about the coming kingdom. And so this was our chance. So in response to what Ehud said, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. This is what Yeshua said. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry, and he said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. How dare he? How dare he? No one would ever in our village treat someone like that. We would never treat a host like that. What flimsy, lame excuses these were. We would never, ever, ever be so rude. No one in his right mind would ever buy a field without looking at it. We would take months to examine the soil and make sure it was fertile. We would make sure that the sun was full on the side of the mountain where these fields were so that it was a valuable piece of property. And then, having decided that, it would take weeks to haggle the price. No one bought something without seeing it. The same thing with 5 yoke of oxen. No one bought oxen without making sure that they were paired up and were even and would pull straight. No one did that. And, you know, the married man, he didn't even ask for an excuse. It's indecent. No one would do this. Everyone would know whether a man just got married in our village. Everyone would have been there. Huh. How? Wow. He was mocking us, this Yeshua. Straight to our faces, he mocked us. He mocked us. And I thought of the proverb that Solomon wrote, which said this, toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. Wow. To the humble, he gives favor. He was saying earlier that those who want to exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Is he saying something to us? Is he saying to us that we are proud? Is he saying to me that I am proud? Is that what he's doing? So Yeshua is saying that it's the poor, the crippled, people who have nothing to recommend themselves who will be invited into the kingdom, because they have nothing. They have nothing to offer. And they are coming in because of the gracious invitation of the Master. Where those who had things, those who had money to buy a field, those who had money to buy oxen, those who had all those things, they said, we don't need your banquet. We're fine. We're doing well. We're okay. We can stand on our own. And he was saying, none of the men who were invited in the first place will eat at the table. He was saying, we were excluded. Was I missing something? Had I been misinformed? I have been among the righteous. I have labored day after day to perfectly keep every jot and tittle of the law. I have labored. I have labored. That's the thing. I labored. Oh yeah, I could put on a good outward showing. But I know that I have not kept every jot and tittle of the law at all. And I remember what Jesus, this Yeshua, said one time to some of our fellow Pharisees. And he said, you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. That's what I've done. That's what I've done. I have maintained a respectable outward appearance, but inside I seethe with jealousy, with lust, with hatred, with anger. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, the narrative in Luke 14 ends there. But if you'll allow me to extend my imagination a little bit further, just kind of wondering what might have happened had a Pharisee like the character we were talking about, Issachar, had truly repented. I imagine that he would have pulled away from his village and gone following after Jesus. Many Pharisees had done that. And that he would listen to his teaching, and that he would see the healings, and that he would come to believe that this man is indeed the Messiah, the one who has come, the one whose kingdom we were talking about, and ridiculing his very essence of bringing in the broken and the crippled and the blind. We were saying only the perfect could come in. That was not his teaching. And I received that. I imagine Issachar was there in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified. I imagine he was among some of the 500 people who saw Jesus after his resurrection, and he believed. So the main point of this passage is the big question: who is worthy to sit at the table with the Messiah in his kingdom? And we have learned. We have learned what Issachar might have heard from Nicodemus. There we go. That's the guy I was thinking about, Nicodemus. When Jesus said to him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. And as Issachar watched this Yeshua die, as he watched him being raised up, he realized that who is worthy to sit at the table? Those who realize that they are spiritually bankrupt, have nothing to offer, and they trust in God's forgiveness through the work of Jesus Christ. There is a second question that I think Jesus deals with in this parable, and that's this question. What part can we, his servants, because he did talk about a servant, didn't he? And that servant had a very prominent role in this parable. What part can we play in God's kingdom? Look what the servant does. He does his master's bidding. He goes out and he invites again, because usually in those days you would have one invitation a week or so ahead of time, because it took a long time to prepare a feast. And then when it was just about ready, you would go back for a second invitation. And that's what had happened. The people originally invited decided not to go at the last minute, which was unheard of. But he went in and did that. And he reported that rudeness to his master. And his master, instead of shutting down the feast, which could have happened, they said, no, I will not let my table be empty. Go out in the city, in the streets, in the highways, in the streets around the city, and find the poor and the lame and the crippled and the blind. And the servant came back and said, I've done everything you've said, but there's still room. And the master said, then go outside the city. Go to the highways and the hedges where the foreigners, the Gentiles, live, and bring them in. So that's his call to us. Jesus has put out a table for all who believe. We have the privilege of being in the place of the servant to go into the streets and the alleys and find people who have lost hope and say there is hope. Here it is. Come to the table with us, because we're all broken and God has graciously made a place for us. So our outreach team has been thinking about this for a while. And we have one of our members, Pat File, who has a passion for the gospel. And she lives in the Danbury community. And wants to reach out to the folks that are there. So we are coming behind her, around her, to support her in those efforts and do whatever we can to help her put out a welcome. So if God is pricking your heart and this sounds interesting to you, come see me, or come see Ken Francis about that. The other thing is, I've been thinking through this over the last several weeks, this passage, the whole idea of going outside of the city of those within the Jewish community, to the foreigners. We have many people from around the world, many internationals who live here and work here, students who come here. And I'm understanding that a lot for the students, most of them never see the inside of an American home. What a simple thing to open our home up to a student or to somebody who lives here in this area. So we've been in touch with Sanford and going to be talking to their people about how we can do that. If you have a desire to see that happen, to see the international community come into your home, come into our place where the table is set for them, then join us. Speak to me or speak to Ken about that. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you, thank you, thank you that you have made for us a table, that you have cleansed us from our unworthiness and made us worthy, not because of the things we have done, but because of the things that you have done for us through Jesus. We accept your invitation today. Thank you. And we ask that you would open our eyes, our hearts, to see where we can be a part of what the servant did, inviting those to come into this great banquet where you wipe away our tears, you set aside the sorrows, you set aside death once and for all, and you welcome us into your community. We look forward to that. Speak to us, O God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.